We left off the last year about Lamed Ches and Aleph. So let's go back to the Gemara again. The Gemara was discussing what brachas one makes on liquids and derivatives of fruit. The Gemara picks up on Lamed Ches and Aleph. It wants up from the top. First one wanted to Pesach. So the Amar Mar Ravashi had dushi the tamrei mevarchin al vei shachal nevudvaro. The bracha that one makes on the honey that comes out of a date, it's extracted from a date, ishahako. By time is Yalmahu. The reason is that the halacha doesn't view it like the date proper. You don't make this bracha breaks. Rather, it's the zayf, the sweat of the date, and therefore the bracha goes down to shacho. And the Gemara relates this to a din keman ki aitana. This follows the opinion of the Tana, the Snan, Vash Tamar, and being Tapuchim, Muhammad Sifanias, Shami Peirash, Truma, Velez Machai, Kerem Chemish, Rabishua Poyta. If a person consumes the liquid derivatives of fruit that is Truma, so Rabbi Eliezer considers that to be eating truma, and if you did it b'shogeg, you'd have to pay a chomesh to the kohen. And Rabbi Yeshua says no. Rabbi Yeshua says it's not the same thing. The reason being zei b'yamim. So as we mentioned last week, the Gemara is applying this principle of zei b'yamim both on a level of the arise in terms of achilas truma, as well as vizviyuchos brachos. And then to complete the circle, the Gemara has a similar idea in Maseches Pesach in the second parak of zei b'yamim in terms of vichos orlo. The reason why the apple juice, the orange juice, the other juices besides grape juice and olive oil is not oil, is not, you're not going to have malchus feed for consuming those, is the same idea because of zei b'yamim. So if you just look at these three dinim, because brachas, because trumas, because oil, it's all the same type of halacha, but being done, either the rice or the rabbanon on the fruit, and we want to know is the juice like the fruit, and the answer is no, because of this, in a sense, scientific evaluation called zei b'yamim. The problem that all the Rishonim were bothered with this week was, is that the Gemara has the exact same din in Maseches Chulin with an entirely different reason. The Gemara says the same thing is true. Everyone agrees that it's true. The only thing is, the Gemara derives it from a pesach. The Gemara says, how do you know that orange juice and apple juice and all these, and date honey, how do you know none of these things are considered to be like the fruit? Because tirosh v'yitzok said, since the Torah singles out tirosh v'yitzok, wine, and olive oil, and the parasha of truma, and we derive from truma to bikurim, from bikurim to oil, the whole complicated drasha, it comes out based on psukum, tzeras akosav, that's the din. That David the Tirish Viyat said yes, other fruit juices no. So the Rishonim were bothered with the kasha. The din, there's no machlokes in the two sugyas. The din is the same. How come in one place the Gemara searches for almost like a scientific observation, say Abiyam, and one place the Gemara uses the psukim? So we mentioned last week, we elaborated upon the machlokes Tais and the Rashba, what the answer to that is. Tais had an idea that the real reason why the fruit juices are not like the fruit is because of Zebi Alba. We needed a pasuk to be mechadish us, not that. We needed a pasuk to be mechadish us that tirosh v'yitzok are different, that olive oil and grape juice is different. I would have thought that's also zei b'yama, kamash balon, that those two are chayim. But the fact that other juices are potter, I don't need a pasuk with that. That's common sense. That's the starting point. That's poshut, that's zei b'yama. And the Rashba and Chulin said in a totally different shot. The Rashba said that there's really only one reason. And the real reason is gzeiros hakosav. Every once in a while, the Gemara will quote Exeris the Kosov and try to touch it up a little bit, make it a little bit more, logical for us. Yeah, it makes sense. You know, it's kind of Zebi Yama, but it's also a nice, interesting reason. That's more of a Sermonic kind of a reason. It's not the reason. The reason is Kachinim Ralocha. But since it does make sense, it fits in nicely into the world of food, the technology, so we'll throw that reason in for good luck. But the MS reason that's Exeris the Kosov. So when all the dust settled, it was Machlokes Tais and the Rashba, what is the ultimate reason why, if you squeeze an apple and you get apple juice, why you're not chayav for Orla? Is it Exeris HaKosav, or is it because of the Svara of Zei B'yamim? So notwithstanding the two approaches that are given by the Mishnah and the Rashba, there is a third approach to the Sugya that appears in one of the Gedolei Acharonim, and the Sefer Avi Ezri, written by Rav Lezer Shach. Rav Lezer Shach, famous for Shach, Rashid from Panovich, Rav Shach suggests that the Sefer Avi Ezri a whole new approach, an innovative approach, which although doesn't appear in Rishonim itself, it touches on some very basic issues that do appear in Rishonim, and we'll try to kind of flesh out this approach that Rav Shach has, because it really touches on many, many different areas, different sugyas and shas. So Rav Shach is a Talmud Mufak of the Brisker Rav. The Brisker Rav had different groups of Talmidim, different ages of Talmidim. He had the kvutza of the mevugarim, the kvutza of the tzirim. He had the older boys and he had the younger boys. So the Rashiv of Kerbi Avner used to tell us, he was also Rashiv of Kerbi Avner of Govach, that's how I learned by the Brisker Rav for 7 years. So he would always tell us that he was the Rosh, he himself, he was the Rosh Chabur Shalat Zirim. He was the head of the younger Talmidim of the Brisker Rav, and he used to have the schus to take daily walks with the Brisker Rav. Brisker Rav had to walk for his health reasons, so he would take different Talmidim with him. So the Rashi was one of the people on the rotation for the walks. That was the schus of being part of being the Rosh Chabur. So he used to always tell us. He says, "Ani hayiti Rosh Shalat Zirim. Atam rotzim ladat mi haya Rosh Shalat Mvugarim." You want to know who was the head of the Mvugarim, the older Bachim? Shamata Bab. Those who remember the Shiva, I don't know if you ever heard the Shiva speak. He said, Shamata Bab, Rav Lezer Shach, Shamata, Shamir Shea, who are you, Rosh Mvugarim? I need to show to him, who are you, Rosh Mvugarim? He was very proud that he was the Rosh, different age levels, he was the Rosh. So, in Brisk, they had different levels in terms of ages of a Talmud. We usually think Talmudim in the 20s and the 30s. That's like a, so my Apple told me that now he went to go learn by Rav David Soloveitchik. Rav Soloveitchik is the Brisker Rav's son. The only one of the sons who's still alive, so he'll be well. So he's already 97 years old, Rav David Soloveitchik. So he doesn't really say the Shir anymore. His son says the Shir, but he's the Rosh Shiva. So my Apple said, I asked my Apple, does he say Shir at all for anybody? So my uncle said, he says for some of the older Bachurim. I said, how old are the older Bachurim? He said, they're in their 70s. So he still says the Shia, I don't know, every day, the Chabur, it's for the set. You have to be over 70 to be in the Bukharim. So in Brisk, the age means different things than the rest of the world. Anyway, so back to that story. So Shach, Zichzat L'Rach, in his sefer, has the following Gevald, you say. He was a Talmud moving to the Brisker Rav, so a fourth Brisker Rav is going to be two dinim, two halachas, he says. This doesn't appear in the Brisker Rav, but it's Kain the Brisker Rav kind of a svar. He says there are two halachas. There are two independent reasons why one could have theoretically been chayav for drinking apple juice of orla. One reason is one could have argued that a juice has a shame pri, that the juice is considered to be mamish the pri itself. It means what makes something to a pri? The Torah says ra'altam alasos pirio wasn't a pri. It grew on a tree, it's a pri. So the apple itself, the red part of the apple, maybe I don't leave out the peels for now, the goof of the apple, the meat, the flesh of the apple, and if you squeeze out the juice and you have a cup of apple juice, that's also a pri. So one could have conceived, possibly, that's such a crazy avenue to say, that the juice is considered to be the pri itself. And al zed nemar, v'chav v'ralto v'losos pirio. But then, says Rav Shach, one could have argued that apple juice could be subject to the prohibitions of Orla for a totally different reason. The Mishnah, back in the second Becharis, I don't know if Yomi had bumped into this a few weeks ago. The Mishnah, the first back of Becharis says, Kol yotze min ha'asar asar. Whenever you have a Dover ha'asar, anything that emanates from a Dover ha'asar itself takes on the halachic significance, takes on the halachic characteristics of that item itself. One marshal. So the Gemara says, what if you have a chazer, and the chazer gives off milk? So that milk is treif min ha'tor. You're not allowed to drink that milk min ha'tor. Why? Because it's a yaitse min ha'asar. Let's say, for example, you have a treif of bird, you have an ostrich. An ostrich lays an egg. So you're not allowed to eat that egg min deraisa. Why? Because the yaitse min ha'asar rasa. So the Gemara is that from Sukkim, with old Rosh from the Yemen, says, for the source of this halacha, called the yaitse min ha'asar rasa. Says Rav Shach, one could have argued that the apple juice should be asar, not because the apple juice is the pre itself. One could have argued that the apple juice should have been also because notwithstanding the fact that it's not really the pre. Pre means a fleshy thing, the fruit, that's a pre. But the apple juice is logora from the milk that comes out of the chazer. It's no worse than the egg that comes out of the ostrich. We could have asked it based on the principle of kalei yetzim and asar. So those are two separate, two independent reasons to potentially ask the apple juice of orla. Because Rav Shach says, that's why there are two sugyas. That's why there are two solutions, because there are two problems. Problem number one is, let's declare that the juice is the fruit itself. So, al zeh ne'emar, egzeres hakosuf, no, tirush v'yitzer is called the fruit. All other juices are not called the fruit. In order to qualify as the shame-free itself, it has to be tirush v'yitzer. Anything else, not tirush v'yitzer, it's not the gufapri. Elolat. Says Rav Shach, that was the Gemara Maseches Chulin. The Gemara Chulin was being done in terms of the Etzem Shema Pri. But that's not our sugya. That's not all what the Gemara Brachas is talking about. That's not all what the Gemara Pesachim is talking about. And the Gemara in Pesachim, let's say it's easier to tell. The Gemara Pesachim says that the reason why apple juice is not Chayiv Mishum Orla The Gemara wasn't even asking the question, let it be the Guf HaPurim. You already solved that problem. What the Gemara wanted to know was, even though it's not Guf HaPurim, let it still be included in the Yisro of Orah. Let it get Malchus for Orah. It's low gar, it's no worse than Yaitse ben HaPurim. Yaitse ben HaOsa. Yaitse ben HaOrah. It should have been us, not Yaitse. And that's what the Gemara says, no, that we don't view the juice of an apple as a Yaitse ben HaPurim. What do we view it as? It's a zeh bi'alma. It's just sweat alone. It's something which is external. The phrase zeh bi'alma is a way of describing that it's not something that internally came from the Guf HaPri, but rather it's external to the Pri, and therefore we can't aser it out yaitzim and aser. So that's a Shach's breakthrough, that the reason why there are two sugyas and the reason why there are two reasons to seemingly get to the same conclusion is because it's not the same conclusion. It's a different problem. It's a different problem. Each problem requires its own unique solution. That's a Shach's breakthrough. So if I say, let's analyze what Shach just told us for a minute with the eyes of Maseches Brachos. There are two places in Shas where the Gemara says Zeh B'Yalma as a poter. One was in Uchus Orla, that was Psachim, Chavtalim. But the other is here in Uchus Brachos. According to Shach, if the Gemara is invoking the phrase Zeh B'Yalma in Maseches Brachos, then what issue is it addressing? It's not addressing the Guf HaPri issue, because Guf HaPri has to be addressed with Gzeiras HaKosov. If the Gemara is addressing the Yaitzei, if the Gemara is using the phrase Zeya, then the Gemara is only addressing the Yaitzei dimension. Can we understand that, Rabbi Say? Could we read the Gemara in Brachos like that? Let's read the Gemara in Brachos again. Amar Rav Ravashi, Haydusha Detami Mevarchim Avei Shachal Yavidvaro. Rav Ravashi is coming up with a gewaltig chiddush. I would have made a strong case to say that the honey comes from the dates, should have been a bar priates. That's what I would have said. It should have been a bar priates. And Nebuch, the only reason why it's not, is Zeh B'Alma. According to Rav Shach's Pshat, that Zeh B'Alma always means that we're talking about Huchas Yotzei. What's the kasher, what I say?
Doesn't make any sense.
Why in the world would I have thought that Yotzei affects Huchas Brachas? What's the Mishnah say in Pachas? Yotzei bin Aser Aser. When you're dealing with Huchas, Treifus, you're dealing with Machosas Surus, you're dealing with Kasheris, you're dealing with milk coming out of pigs, eggs coming out of ostriches, Al Zen Namra Gzeres HaKosov of Kol HaYotzei Min Aser Aser. We state, where does it say in Huchas Brachas, Kol HaYotzei Min X, the Bracha takes on X. Okay, that doesn't make any sense. If it's a Priyates, Bishtach, then you make a Priyates on it. And if it's not a Priyates, you don't make a Priyates on it. The fact that it's a Yotzei Min Aes, Pechates, that we warrant reciting a Bracha. So how can Rav Shach tell us that whenever you see the word Zeh B'Alma, that's a code phrase. Zeh B'Alma, so you have to immediately plug in, oh, the Gemara is solving the problem with Zeh B'Alma, that means it was a Yaitzeh problem. What kind of Yaitzeh problem was it? Why would Yaitzeh in the wildest dreams have made you think you make a bar parade? So Rav Shach's appella, the Rishonim Chara writes. The Rishonim are learning that there's no Tudinim, there's no Brisket Torahs, it's just one question. Yepri, Yishpri. So the Gemara said, either it's an Asfar, it's an Apostle, it's a Rash, but it's whatever you think the answer to the question is in Rishonim. But if Shach's Mahalach, that Zeh B'Alma solving a Yetzer problem, that may be okay in Pesachim vis-a-vis Orla, what does that have to do with the Chos? So Rabbi say, let's see if we could still read this Gemara through the eyes of Rav Shach, but we need a little bit of Akdama to do so. So I put on the for the Rambam, I told everyone to bring a Rambam, right? So we'll get the message from a Rambam. So Rambam, Huchas Macholos Asuros, which of the Machos Asuros. I think of a pair of Gimel, Halacha Aleph. Rambam of the Machos Asuros, by Gimel, Halacha Aleph. Kol machol hayotze mimin min haminin hasurin shalokan alachilosim. Any food that comes out emanates from something that's also to eat, something that if you would eat the guf adav you'd be chay maltis. Hare oisa meichel also the chimin haTorah. Anything that comes out of the davar also is also to treif min haTorah. Kigon chalav behem of the chay hatneim. It's a milk that comes from a non-kosher animal. Ubeitze of the dag. Hatmeim, or eggs that come from a non-kosher bird, or eggs that come from non-kosher fish, shenemar, ve'ez bas haya ano, Zubit Sasa, right out of the Gemara Maseches Chulin. The Torah says you can't eat the Basayana. So what does Basayana mean? You can't eat the daughter of the ostrich. Yana, Yainim means ostriches. You can't eat the daughter of the ostrich. What does that mean? If it meant to say you can't eat an ostrich, you should have said don't eat the Yana. What does Basayana mean? Basayana, Zubit Sasa. The Torah is alluding, the Torah is referring to the egg of the ostrich. For who adin l'chol osa kiyana l'chol advar madayim l'peitza. So even though the Torah itself is only talking about a ya'ana, the Torah Shabbat, and it's only referring to the egg of a ya'ana, but we can extrapolate just as the egg of a ya'ana is also because it's yoytz bin asur, the milk from a chaz, the milk from the camel, the egg from the trefa fish, you name it, yoytz bin asur is also. So this is just taken pretty much right out of the Gemara of the third Bechel and Sefer Chulin. But let's move on to the next couple lines later in the Rambam. In Perek Gimel, Halacha Vav. So in Halacha Aleph, the Rambam introduced us and gave us the Mokra for the Din, and now in Halacha Vav, he's almost apologizing to us. Says the Rambam, Afal Pi, even though I know it's true, Shechola Beheima Tmei Ubeitzi of Tami Asurim in HaTorah, even though that is a given, that's the Pasuk, that's the Kosov, can't argue with that, Gemara Chulin. Says the Rambam, even though it's Asurim in HaTorah, by the way, says the Rambam, Ein Loikin Aleihem. You're not going to be chayav malchus for eating these things. The person who drinks the chaz milk, isa deraisa, yeah. But malchus, no. The person who ate the ostrich egg, isa deraisa, yes. Malchus, no. How does the Rambam know that? Shneamar, v'besoram lo sochelu, al habosar hu loke, v'eino loke la beitzav yalacholov. So it's hadrosha. Rambam says that only the meat itself of the treif animals that you chayav for, you chayav malchus for, everything else is not chayav malchus. Now the Rambam has put himself into trouble. Nobody told the Rambam this. The Rambam figured this out on his own, but maybe he was medayeg from a certain Gemara. The Rambam came to the conclusion that he's not chayav malchus, but now he finds himself in a hole. Why? Because he just got finished saying it's asur min haTorah, that's not negotiable. But in the same breath he's saying it's not chayav malchus, that's a funny tightrope to walk. If it's asur min haTorah, that usually carries with it malchus. So not necessarily. Listen to the moshul that the Rambam gives. V'harei ha'oichel son. He says, we already have precedent for this idea. You can have something in the realm of kashrus that's awesome in a Torah, but you're not chayav malchus. You have less than a kedayis. So go on at the end of Maseches Yuma. But malchus of malchus maharbis. We give malchus midirabban to anybody. That's no big deal. But malchus derais, third of malchus. So that is not going to apply to the person who drank the chazanuk, who ate ostrich eggs. Similar to the guy who ate half a kazayis of chazir. That's the Rambam's mashal. At Kandivirim. So notwithstanding what the Rambam told us, that one is not chayav malchus for these yotzim and asur, there happens to be a taisis of a seventh chulun daf samagdala that disagrees. There's a one line in the middle of a whole complicated sugya in chulun daf samagdala, where taisis says, bamish pechem olay, that you are chayav malchus. So we may say, what is the point of contention? What's the Kudus of Machlokes between Taisa and the Rambam? What are they arguing about? What are they fighting about? How come the Rambam says, so obvious to him, you're only, Pasha says the Rambam, that you're not going to be Chayim Malchus, and Taisa says, no, you are going to be Chayim Malchus. What's the Kudus of Machlokes? What are they fighting about? So we've seen this kind of Chakira time and time again. The starting point is the Torah says don't eat chazir. The starting point is the Torah says don't eat an ostrich. That's the starting point. The Torah says don't, you eat, you chayev. Chayev malchus. Now, kump the Torah Shabbat and says to us, by the way, this egg that came out of the ostrich, you can't eat either. And by the way, the milk that came out of the chaz, you can't drink either. What's the chakira, I say? What's the nature, huh? What's the nature of this issur? One can understand the nature of this issur in two ways. How can we understand? What are the two ways of understanding the nature of this issur? The starting point is you can't eat meat of an ostrich. You can't eat meat of a chazir. Comes in turns and says, and by the way, you can't eat these things also.
So you're saying it's either it's like the pri, it's still the pri, or you're saying
kind,
maybe...
The same kind of hakir we've seen before. Yeah. So comes the briskerov. Briskerov is chedushim b'chayrus, explains, one can understand this dinner one or two ways. Either one can understand that we have a certain preconception of what basar chazer means. We thought, what is a chazer? If you looked up in halacha pita, what's a chazer? have him walk around, oink, oink, little tail. That's, you take a piece of pork, you take a piece of bacon, a piece of ham. I'm not sure the difference of all those things. So you take a piece of chazer, that's the chazer of a batzora. I mean, come on, you have a cup of milk that came out of the oink, oink. That's a chazer. That's a joke. That's not a chazer. So we had a preconception that chazer means besara chazer, besara mosuchelo. Guess what, says the Mishkara? Our preconception was a misconception. We were wrong. We had an incorrect definition of what besara chazer meant. We thought besara chazer meant flesh, the flesh of the chazer. That was true. Kolzman, the Torah, didn't give me a chiddush of basayana. Once the Torah tells me that kol yaitzim in asur asur, what does that mean? That means anything that's yaitzim from the davar asur takes on the halachic characteristics of the original asur, and this is a newfangled definition of besara chazer. This is besara chazer. This is no less besara chazer than a piece of flesh. That's exactly what the chiddush is. So the gzeiras hakosov is not a chiddush that it's a brand new halacha, but rather it's simply megala to me that I have to have a new halachic definition of what besara chazer meant all along. What's the other obvious possibility? That our preconception was absolutely correct. Eloa, our preconception was right. Bosor means bosor. Cholov is not bosor. Beitzo is not bosor. Why are you not allowed to eat the cholov of the chazir or the egg of the ostrich? It's a chidush atar, it's a gzeres akosav. In addition to the isser of eating besar chazir, you will also, by the way, not allowed to eat milk that comes out of a chazir. Is that called chazir? Absolutely not. A preconception was a correct conception.
According to the first way we're explaining it, doesn't human milk and bee something
else? Oh, okay, yeah, we gotta get into the milk. We got a long way to go. Not such a long way to go. Let's get into the human, the milk. So two very, very different ways of understanding. At the end of the day, you end up in the same place. Lamaisa tossed the Torah. There's no question about it. It's tossed the Raisa. Who remembers? This is almost an identical chakir we had. We spoke about this last week also. Any time, remember we had Esa Shomul Pri. Right, we started out, the Torah says, fruit is orla. Then the Torah says, by the way, the shell is also orla, the peels are also orla. So we weren't sure, does that mean that the peel is like the fruit? And some Rishonim said, therefore you make a bar for eights on it. And another Rishonim said, no, the peel is not like the fruit. It's a quirk, it's exactly the cost of it, but it's not the fruit. And if you don't make a bar for eights on it, right? We spoke about this like this weeks ago. So the Mishkara presents, came out this identical chakir that we added about Shom Lepri, vis-a-vis Yaitzimina also. So the Rabbi said, my nafkamina. At the end of the day, is there a nafkamina? Absolutely. What's the nafkamina? This is the nafkamina. Yechai Ma'am was enough. This is it. This is the nafkamina, says the Mishkara. If you go down the first path, that drinking milk is halakhically equivalent to eating chazer, the Torah says, mebisarim losachelum, thus is besar chazer. This is it. And that's exactly what Taisa says in Chulin Daf Samach Daled. That once the Torah is megal to be the Eretz Min Asur is Asur, the Mela, there is no way to be mechalik. You cannot possibly differentiate between the Basra Chazer and the milk of the Chazer. You can't differentiate between the meat of the ostrich and the eggs of the ostrich. It's the same thing. Al Zen Nem Ebsam Asachel, but the Lashon Lav Yechem Altis. But if you go down the second route, that Basra Chazer Luchud and Eretz Min Asur Luchud, Eretz Min Asur is an Isser B'fnei Atzmai. But what is it not? It's not a lav omer b'torah, and unless it's a lav omer b'furish b'torah, you're not going to have malchus. Malchus is given when the Torah says don't. The Torah didn't say don't. The Torah says, by the way, there's a new iser here called yetzvid aser, but that's not the pshuta shemekri. The pshuta shemekri is eating the ostrich itself. It happens to be the Torah used the lashon das, which the Torah shabbat pes b'dayik to mean. By the way, that's. Alluding to, that's referring to the egg, but that's not a lav of Mefurish b'Torah. It's also in the Torah, but that's not a lav of b'Torah. Since it's a separate, independent din, you would not be Chai Malkus. So at the end of the day, says the Mishkara, the Machloek is tasing around, you Chai Malkus for ostrich eggs, you Chai Malkus for chazer milk, is a Machloek is has to have a l'mshah in this gzer sekos of Yotzman also. Is it part of the original Isser, or is it Isser b'Fnei Atzmai? Everybody saying, who sees the wheels turning now? The shots,
It's the same thing with brachos.
Oh, the same thing is 100% much. Same as brachos. We saw this already by the Shomul Pri story. We just referenced it a minute ago. Whenever you have these kind of dinim, when there's a chiddush haTorah, if it's part of the original din, so then it's part of the original din, chol dini haTorah, including dinim derabanan for brachos. The same way that many Rishonim said you make a bar per eight on peels because that was the new definition of a fruit. So in theory, you could make a bar of your eitz on a yaitzei min ha'eitz. Which is exactly what? Exactly what my bracha said. It's exactly what my bravashi said. That I would have had a gevaldik asvar to say that on dvash tevarim, I'm sorry, on dvash tevarim, you should recite a bar of your eitz, not because it's gufa pri. Gufa pri, that's the sugi chun. That's nothing to do with us. Because it's a yaitzei min ha'pri. And following Shikhi's Abtoisus, that Yetzi Min HaPri takes on all the characteristics of the original Pri, that in and of itself would have been grounds to recite a bird parades on it. Kamash Malon Zeyabi Alma. When something is Zeyabi Alma, it's not really Gufa Pri. We view it as something which is external rather than something that actually emanates from the Pri proper. So since Zeyabi Alma undermines it being labeled as Yaitzim in a prey, that's the only reason why he can't make bar parades. But if not for that, if it would have met the halach criteria of being called Yaitzim in a prey, we could have made a bar parades.
We are extrapolating from what was an Isser to now.
Correct, right, that's
to,
right.
To like that's, something right. That's a bracha, right, which right, has nothing right. To do with your original sugya.
Correct, but I'm not the first one to do it. Same Rishonim did it by Shomrim without a blinking eye. Everyone, no hesitations. Right. So everybody's saying, it is clear, clear as day, the Rashach's pshat can only make sense if you go down that route of Tosis. If you go down the Rambam, the pshat doesn't get off the ground. According to Rambam, it's not good for priests, but it's the Havish Mahamid that should affect the Chuzbrachas. Rabbi said Rashach's pshat anyway is Meshubat to Tosis. There's no way, even without the Gemara Brachas, Rashach's pshat cannot fly according to the Rambam. I'll tell you why. Where were the two sugyas? Where were the two places in Shash where the Gemara says Zeyabi Alma? One was in Brachas, in Rabbi Yochai's Brachas. Where was the other case? In Psachim, vis-a-vis Hilchos?
Truma.
Orla, right? Where the Gemara said Truma and then jumped to Orla. So the Gemara quoted, remember the Chavdal, that's what we read. In Sofkin, Mel Orla, Ela Yaitzim in Orla, Ela Zeis Mel Anovim. The Yenadchai Malkas for drinking apple juice of Orla. I have an apple juice of Orla, orange juice of Orla, pear juice of Orla. In Sofkin, Sofkin, Yenadchai Malkas. Why does the Gemara say Nachai Malkus? Because of what reason? One reason alone. What's the reason? Because it's Zeyabi Alma. According to Rav Shach, what does Zeyabi Alma always mean? It always means we're learning the sugya of Yaitzim and Hasar. That's the term, those are the words, that's the terminology Chazal used to describe the issue of Yaitzim and Hasar. Al Zen Nemar, it's Zeyabi Alma. So what did the Gemara say in Pesachim? That the reason why you don't get Malkus for drinking apple juice of oil because of Zeyabi Alma, implying that if it wouldn't have been Zeyabi Alma, what would have happened to you? You would have been Chai Malkus. Which Rishon could read that Gemara? Only Tosfos. The Rambam would never be able to read that Gemara. There's no way that Gemara makes any sense according to the Rambam. So Rav Shach's Pshat is Meshubat the Shittas of Tosfos, Bein Mitam the Gemara in Barachas, Bein Mitam the Gemara in Pesachim. Bein mitam our sugya that the only way to explain why Yaitze would impact the Chuzbrachas is to put it into Tosa's model of Yaitze being part of the Gufa Dover. And bein the sugya m'sachem chavnalit, any havamin shemahavamin give malchus for Orla based on Yaitze doesn't make any sense according to Shittas Rambam. So Shach's entire shtukotar only fits at the Shittas of Tosa's. But basically, even though the Rambam is not going to help us in our sugyas, we still need a little bit more work on the Shittas Rambam. The Rambam took on this whole Shittas Torah, the Rambam took on this whole Tosfos and said, no Malkus, zero, nothing, and again, the Brisker Rav's beer, no Malkus, the reason is because it's an Issa b'fnei Atzma, it's an Ifra Nifra, it's a Chadosh, it's not part of the original Issa. It's this Shittas Torah of the Brisker Rav, and that's this Rambam in Perek Gimel HaChavav, that may be the answer to the riddle of another Rambam, Hachatz Machal Sosuros, that Shai alluded to before. Let's take a look at the Rambam Perek Beis, Halacha Gimel. So the Rambam, Perek Beis, Halacha Gimel, of course, the Suez has a startling statement. He begins to discuss, believe it or not, cannibalism. He wants to know, what's the din a guy eats a mace? What's the other ramification of eating a human body? Just how bad is that? So listen to the Rambam. Perek Beis Halacha Gimel. Ha'adam, af al pi shenem abo vayi adam nefesh chaya, even though a human being is a nefesh chaya, I always say that when you say Tzvos Aderech and you ask the Rebbe Shalom to save you from chayas rolls, so you have to have in mind, number one, the deer, they're not really chayas rolls, but when they hit your car, they're chaya ra, and number two, you get to have in mind vayi adam nefesh chaya, the nefesh chaya is that sometimes the behemoths and chayas that run around with two legs. So even though a human being is a nefesh chaya, ain't a bechlam mine chaya balas parsa. A human being doesn't have hoofs altogether. The Torah speaks about animals that have split hooves and animals that don't have split hooves, implying that the regular rules of kashrus are addressing animals that have hooves. People have feet, toes that have hooves. So therefore, they're not really included in the Pesukim of Parsha Shemini that address balas parsa. Lefikach, therefore, says the Rambam, ain't a belosese. If a person eats human flesh, he's not over the law of eating an animal which doesn't have the simonim. Anytime you eat an animal that doesn't have the two simonim of Tara, that's a law of the Torah. Echei Malkus says the Rambam, a human being doesn't have the two simonim, but he's not in the parasha of the simonim. He doesn't have a hoof altogether. Nevertheless, says the Rambam, if a person eats either the meat of a person or the chel of a person, it's still prohibited with the araisa based on an iser essay. What's meant in iser essay? Sometimes the Torah says, don't do the following. And sometimes the Torah says, do the following, implying that you can't do what's not the following. That's called an iser essay. The Torah says, you're not allowed to marry a little yonash from the Gilch Rus. Torah says, you can't marry from some Avnu Moab. So the person married somebody from Avnu Moab, a male from Avnu Moab, that's an iser deraisa chaymalchus. What about marrying a mitzvah and adomi? So here the Torah is a little trickier. The Torah says, "Bani Mashiach Yavolem B'dor Shlishi Yavolem B'Chal Hashem." The third generation of Ger Mitzvah Adomi, them you're allowed to marry. What does that imply? That the first two you can't marry. The Torah doesn't say Lo Yavolem B'Chal Hashem. It says Dor Shlishi Yavolem B'Chal D'Rishim V'Sheni Yosa. So if you marry the first, the second generation of Gerim of Adomi and Mitzri, so that's an Issa Deraisa. That's what's called the Nisr Essay, the Gemara says. So over here, the Rambam says that if you eat chazir, you eat a camel, you eat a horse meat, that's a law in the Torah. But if you eat human flesh, also be essay. Shere mana kos of shivas mini chaya, vehem zosa chaya shef tochelu, hakoshu chut behem noso chelu. Palavam kos essay. The Torah spells out and says, you're allowed to eat the following chayas. You can eat three behemoths, Shor, sen, aves, right? You can eat either cattle, you can eat goats, you can eat sheep. Those are the three kosher animals. And then the seven wild animals you're allowed to eat, one of them being a deer and gazelles, and maybe a giraffe, whatever the different interpretation of the seven animals are. But anything that's not one on that list is also to eat. It doesn't say lo soklu. You're right. It's an Isser essay. Zay sechay shet lechelu. Hakosh uchut mehem lo sochel v'abam l'chos essay. The Rambam's famous sheet is, that the Sar Adam is awesome in the Torah, it is part of Hufus Kashrus, but not to the extent of being Chai Malchus, because it's lack, it doesn't have a hoof, doesn't have a parsa in the first place. So there's a Ramban, both in his parish on Chumash and Parsha Shmini, as well as in the Sabbath, too, with Rav Samach. The Ramban has the same Kashrus, Chai, we refer to. Ramban says, wait a second, the Rambam's right, that human flesh is awesome in the Torah. I don't care why it's awesome. Law, essay, Malchus, no Malchus, it doesn't matter. If it's awesome in the Torah, what should follow? What should the corollary be?
Should be awesome.
Human milk should be awesome in the Torah. It should be awesome, yotz, and awesome. That's the Ramban's cash. And that is obviously not the case, clearly not the case. There's no way at all to drink human milk. And therefore, frek the Rishonim and the Rambam, why doesn't that follow? Why doesn't the Isser of Kaliyot also apply to human milk? Says the Rabbana Raya Brewer that the human flesh is not also awesome in the Torah anyway.
Except if you say that Kaliyot and also is led by Lizos.
So comes the Magen Mishnah and says exactly that. So the Magen Mishnah guesses, and he says in Halacha Beis, he says in one line, in the middle of Sov Rabbeinu, so he says, Lo oy omke el belos essay, above the essay, it's okay. So I challenge you, Danny. Sister Taira. Sister, it's arbitrary. How can that be? Maybe Isurim, yeah, but these Isurim, no. What does that mean? What do the words mean? What's pshat in this Magen Mishnah? What's the Bira Dova? How can the Rambam say such a thing? So the Chayra, this is the Rambam Shutasa. If you would have held like Tosfos that Yotzim and Asur means the Torah is redefining what the Guf HaDavar is, so then once it's a redefinition of Guf HaDavar, it even spills over to Hilchus, as you said before, Hilchus Brachas. So it's not going to spill over to Hilchus Kashas of Aseis. It would be absurd, it would be ludicrous to say, in Hilchus Brachas, it takes on the characteristics of the Guf HaPri, but in Hilchus Aseis, it doesn't. That's ridiculous. The only way the Rambam was free to make such a distinction, it seems to be an otherwise arbitrary distinction, that Lavim is also, but Essays is Butter, is the Rambam Shittas in Perek Gimel. Since the Rambam holds in Perek Gimel that there's no Malkus on Yotz Min Aser, which is, as the Brisker Rav explained, is tantamount to saying that it's not really the Guf HaDavar, it's just it's an Isser B'fnei Atzmo, it's a brand new Isser, it's a Chiddush HaTorah. Guess what? We have a rule. Eim Chavol Chiddushai. The Chiddush HaTorah, that Yotzi is also notwithstanding the fact that it's not Guf HaIsser, that Chiddush was said by Basayana, which happens to have the characteristic of being alive. We have no right to extrapolate to any other areas of halacha except for that very model that the Torah itself gave, Ba'ilav. So it could be that this Rambam, Hilchos Machlokes Asuros, vis-a-vis cholav of a person, is l'shitasai of the Rambam in Perek Gimel Halacha Vav, which again, which puts the Rambam at odds with our sugya according to Rashi Biur. But again, our Gemara fits in nicely according to Tosfos, wouldn't fit in nicely according to the Rambam. So Rabbi says, there's one last nekuda I wanted to share, a fascinating, fascinating nekuda that may impact on this as well. A little bit in Yonah Diyoma for Shavuos, a little bit past in Yonah Diyoma. Take a look at the Gemara in Bechoros, I put on the Ramah Komos. Gemara in Bechoros, that Vav on the base. The Gemara asks a very, very fascinating question of Vav on the base. The Gemara wants to know, how do you know that milk from a kosher animal is kosher? Give that nine kosher animals. Kosher milk. How do you know that milk from a kosher animal is kosher? I don't know. What's the shaila? Why would I thought it's treif? Because the animal is not edible right now. It's if it's minachai, it's nevachai. If I'd want to take a bite out of the live cow, I couldn't. So maybe we should view the milk that's coming out of the cow as a yaitz min aser. So the Gemara has a whole sugi, an omen long, to try to figure out why that's wrong. The Gemara quotes Pesukim, Eretz Avas Chalav Udvash, it's Exerce Kosim, it's this, and this plus that. The Gemara is bending over backwards, trying to figure out what happened to the problem of Yotzei Min Aser. Why don't we trafe up all milk based on Yotzei Min Aser? If you take a look, those who are able to see, maybe you can magnify it on your phone a little bit. But in the Shita B'Kubetz, that's on the side of the Gemara B'Choris, the Vavim Beis, it's Os Beis. For those who are following it, I don't know what it shows up like on your phone, but if you can somehow find those bays. So it's in the middle size lines of the Shittim HaKubetzes. It's about 10 lines down or something. The lines have to be middle sized. For Chol HaBehem HaTorah Minol HaDushari. Right? Anyone got it? V'yim Toimar. For Ek the Shittim HaKubetzes, Arishim, V'yim Toimar. Why didn't the Gemara quote the most obvious part? The Gemara is draining a cup of Pesukim all over Tanakh to prove that milk is kosher. But I'm Davar Avinu. Ubevatilo echilam iser, the kim avmina kol tar kula. Avim Avinu kept kol tar kula. You never would have eaten treif. The Emir Rizal, the Havi Sovar Shem B'nei Noach. Avim Avinu thought that they were goyim, the people who were guests, the three malach. He thought he didn't realize they weren't even people. He thought they were goyim. He thought they were Arabs. He thought they were of the bizarre. And therefore, the fishitosai, for lo nitztavu al kain, ki ein zem eshevim mitzvahs bnei noach shekibol aleihem. Therefore, thinking that they were goyim, he had no qualms feeding them the milk, even though the milk may have actually been treif. Now, I leave the MS milk was kosher and it was the cash first place. But why didn't the Gemara want to be a raya? Because one could have played devil's advocate and said the milk would have been kosher for goyim. What's the kasha? What's the kasha, if I say? The hava be the milk was treif. Treif based on what? Yotze min what? Min yotze min ha eva min achai. That was the hava be that's also. Eva min achai is one of the shemits of Bnei Noach. A goy can't take a bite out of the meat. So the fee. Even if you have a Venus cheshbon that they were goyim, it should still have been a problem. So the sheep didn't solve anything. So what does he mean when he says, "Lo nitztavu al kach"? Maybe one can answer as follows. So Shach Tachin the Sefer has this also in a different context. He says that one could suggest, does the din of Yotze apply for goyim or not? Is there a problem with Yotze and also for goyim? Now it's almost a moot question because goyim are allowed to eat chazit, allowed to eat orla, they're allowed to eat ostriches, so there would be no question of Yotze. There's only one thing a goy can't eat, and what's what? Eir Chai. Can a goy eat something that's yotzei mei Eir Chai? So what do you think the answer to that question is? It depends. Depends on Tazer Rambam. If you really believe that yotzei mei also has been redefined to be the same chefta, if it's redefined and it get malchus according to Tazer Chulin Samach Dalam, and it's redefined to make a bracha ha'etz potentially on it or shach shel Torah, it's redefined in Kola Tarakula to be part of the original Chefza, bane for Jews, bane for Goyim. And therefore, Lu Yitzuya, that milk would have been Treif, Lu Yitzuya, that milk would have been the Yetzvei, and Chai would have been also to Goyim also. And the Shemugret Soteris would not be correct. But if you hold like the Rambam, that Yotze is not really an Isser, it's not really the original Isser, it's an Isser, but for the outside, it's a Chiddush HaTorah. It's a Chiddush HaTorah that was only said by Lavin, wasn't said by Yeseis, wasn't said in Luchus Brachas, doesn't apply to any, Malchus, nothing. Guess what? In the Chalukhid, it said for Jews, Goyim weren't given the parish of the Yotzei. And therefore, the Shiva Kubetzis reads like a charm. That if you hold, like the Shiva Sarambam, that Yotzei is a chiddush b'fnei atzmo, it's a gzeres ha-kos, it doesn't impact on the original food. So, Daka, there's no raya from the fact that you feed it to a Goy. The fact that Goyim are allowed to drink milk doesn't impact on the Jews being able to drink milk. It could be that milk was taka also out to Yotzei, but Yotzei doesn't impact Goyim. That's why it was milk. That's why the Gemara shied away and didn't quote this pasuk. So Kopanim, we have a whole lot of issues swirling around, all revolving around the same thing, the same fundamental nekuda. What does Yotze accomplish? Does Yotze create a brand new Isser? Or does Yotze just go back to the original, just redefines what the Guf HaDavar is? So Rav Shach Shtichul Torah, to explain Agmara, only fit into one model, into one group of Rishonim, and maybe that's why the other Rishonim didn't even give this Pshat, because this Pshat wouldn't work according to the whole group of Rishonim. But Rav Shach Shtichul Torah opens up our eyes to just how far Yotze can go. Can Yotze impact the Brachas? Can Yotze impact the Chazmachos for Orla? Can Yotze affect Cholav Abom and Adam? Can Isereseh versus Losa say? Can Cholav have an impact? Can Yotze impact on Goyim as well? It's all part of the same story. So again, whether you want to learn Pshat and Brachas, Lamed Zayin, Lamed Ches, based on Rav Shach Shtichul Torah, subject to Machlag is Rishonim, but it definitely is an eye-opener in terms of this entire picture, this entire sugya, of what Yotze is and what Yotze isn't, this major Machlag is Rishonim. Okay. Next.